Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 435's After Show.
Happy New Year!
Yeah. Happy New Year.
This will usually come out on Friday.
Oh, we get wild on Friday.
Which is Friday
the 30th?
Yeah.
Friday the 30th. You know what they say about that day.
New Year's Eve Eve?
Yeah.
Wildest night of the year.
It's going to be. Welcome in, everyone. This is the Smashbox TV podcast after show. We talk a little bit about disc golf, then sometimes a little bit more, but it's easy to get off the rails into anything else that may or may not be disc golf related. We love to take your questions and comments from the board, especially the chat board that comes to us via YouTube. But if you're out there on the Facebooks, well, that might work as well. So, welcome in, as we're just getting caught up with a few of the messages that were posted. Ace Run's out there in full effect, getting on it. Paul Martin was unnecessarily warned by the...
By Nightbot.
Paul, you're still okay with us, buddy.
He just had a lot of caps. He was thanking us, a lot of capital letters. Nightbot sometimes gets a little overreactive when it comes to the Sam.
Protective of us, so we thank you for that,
thank
Nightbot.
You, Nightbot. I have Nightbot set at a little bit higher level just because for a while we were running into all that lovey-dovey spam with a lot of emojis and hearts and eggplants and pears. So I cranked Nightbot up a few like a year or so ago, and I never quite cranked him back down. So he gets a little touchy.
Yeah, not in the good way either.
No.
All right, not welcome in. Hope everyone had a good Christmas, if that's what you're into.
Or Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all the holidays.
Whatever you are into. Sorry, I'm just kind of scrolling through a few of the headlines that I saw, one of which was Ricky Wysocki and Gannon Burr are doing something. It looks like they're going to be in Kansas City doing something. I've seen this posted here for a few weeks. That's going to be on January 8th. And then also, and I know we talked about it, of course, during the regular show, as we promised, but... I know that I saw some new information from Ricky Wysocki and his foundation. I wanted to make sure we shared it as well. Sockebaumfoundation.org. And whoops, if I could spell foundation.org. Because I think there was some new initiative that they're putting together. And of course, I don't have it in front of me. So I'll search for it and then I'll get back to you guys on that. But I know they are still doing stuff and they created something new. But it's sockebaumfoundation.org if you want to go out. Talks, they have a scrolling. Ooh, they have scroll saying that $48,250 has already been donated year to date. And there has, I'm assuming that includes $34,000 being Elite Series aces. $1,000 Elite Series aces, 34. So
that's pretty awesome.
Mean $34,000. Wow, we've had 34 aces in the Elite Series.
Sure, amongst all the players.
That makes sense. That's less than
three.
I was gonna say three a weekend, but we have more than 10. So yeah, that's only like one and a half a weekend. So I guess that probably makes sense. On a weekend.
Yeah, these courses aren't necessarily mostly set up for aces, Terry, if you didn't notice.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I get aces. I try.
I don't know if you do, Terry Miller.
All right. Let's read a few things off the board. And I see. Are you buying any mystery boxes, Omnipresent Waves ass?
Nope. Not me personally.
Yeah. I will not go into a long tangent about mystery boxes and them being not mysteries. Because that's like, I wish mystery boxes would go, mystery boxes would go back to being legitimate mysteries rather than, hey, you want to get this mystery box? Here's what it contains. These seven discs.
It's seven discs, and you maybe, the mystery is what weight and color you're getting.
Yeah. The mystery is it's probably not going to be the weight or color you wanted.
Yeah.
And then you'll complain about that. Any box or boxes or company for that matter that does it where the majority of the items aren't already known, and there's something that's truly exclusive to the mystery box, I think is going to continue to have a greater success, i.e., from what I've gathered, the Discmania mystery boxes. They often, if not always, have had something in there that is unique to the mystery box that isn't necessarily something you could go get anywhere else. Or if so, not for a long time after that.
Not for at least, yeah, a couple months.
Or something of that nature. That, to me, that's one that jumps out. Now, maybe others do it. Please educate me if so. But I feel like that is should be a key to success and to people wanting to jump on board with it. Now, with that also being said, I have now bought a number of Discmania mystery boxes due to some of their hype throughout the years, and I have never once opened one. I have ever. It will make for a great YouTube video someday. I think every year they've done mystery boxes, I have them, and I have never opened them. They're just sitting sealed.
Still a mystery.
They are still a mystery to me. And the best part is, you know that some people have forgotten now. Even your most diehard fans maybe have forgotten, like, well, what was in your twos? Like, you wait long enough, and everyone will then treat it like it's truly a mystery. So, someday I will go through. There is one in particular that arrived many years ago that was completely destroyed just by sheer shipping. It was completely destroyed. And so if you just like moved your hand around a little bit, you could basically make out the contents of everything. But that's stored in a corner of my office somewhere, and okay. It hasn't been touched since. So it'll be fun. All right. Do you know your schedule for the 2023 season, Terry? When will you be in the booth or on the course? I largely know. There was some chart.
There's a spreadsheet. Not a chart. It's a spreadsheet.
Well, it's also a chart.
It's not.
What? You don't think it's a chart?
No. A chart, I think, implies a graphic of some sort.
Oh, no, no. Because no. We're going to look up definition of a chart.
All right. So
what is a chart?
Clearly, it is a spreadsheet. But a chart, I believe, is some sort of graphic representation of data.
It says a sheet of information in the form of a table, graph, or diagram, and that's where I beat you. Table.
Table.
It's yep. I think that is. I mean,
so,
I see where you're going with it.
That is so ticky tacky because I think of a table like a table is like a small graphic inside of a bigger thing that's like, hey, here are you know. Now, if this was like a sheet, like a Word doc, Terry, with a sheet, like a small table in it that had all your information, I would give you that as a chart.
But
the fact that the whole thing is
largely
a spreadsheet.
At any rate,
oh
there's a chart-like function that some would call a spreadsheet.
Call shenanigans on this one, but okay, go ahead.
That has largely been shared among the talent, as I guess we're called, shared among the talent within the Disc Golf Pro Tour, and various weekends have been either highly demanded is not the word, have been either highly regarded or solidified. And some weekends there might be a little bit of player influx on those. But for the most part, most of the talent schedule has in fact been laid out for the 2023 season, which includes sometimes being on site. I don't know if we're spoiling news, so and really it's not that impactful to the rest of the world, so I'll say it in case it is spoiling news. One thing that's been talked about is developing more on-site booths, so that becomes more of a regular thing. It certainly won't be every weekend and every event, but it's a strategy that's been. It was actually used many years ago where we had it quite often at events. We had challenges with it. Then the booths that were quite static, largely yep. being either in Bend or Milwaukee. And now in 2023, we're going to see quite a few events that will have an on-location booth. And right off the bat, I think of our first regular Elite Series event being Vegas, where Philo and Ian will be in the booth. I'll be out on the course, but the booth will actually be located in Vegas as opposed to being in Milwaukee. So
There'll be a few this season, probably like the Elite Series Plus events, maybe, and Worlds. We've always had a booth on site. Maybe the championships, USDGC is usually on site. There'll be a few of them where the booth is on site. I'm so torn on that. Personally.
Yeah, it naturally you're torn because naturally it comes with a number of pros and it comes with a number of drawbacks and additional challenges. That's the long and short of it. Someday we could get into more of those, but it comes with pros and cons, as does most decisions.
Yeah.
All right.
Ray Zerhausen says, online sports gambling is officially legal in Ohio January 1st. If I stop showing up for podcasts, that's what happened, RIP. Let's keep your kneecaps engaged, Ray. We don't need...
Oh, I figured it meant because he won so much money, he just like bought a whole new internet and then doesn't watch
He
us.
Bought new hosts for Smashbox.
he just bought a whole new, yeah.
Well, I hope so. That's interesting. I'm going to have to look into that because I don't know exactly what that entails for Ohio. I think they were one of the holdouts for fantasy sports as well. So if that's the case, that opens up a tiny little bit more of a door for me in different areas of Skip Ace.
The only question is, where do you lose more money? Online gambling in Ohio, or
developing a website called Skip Ace,
or on the turnpike, or on the toll road of Ohio, you're going to spend way more money there year after year, I bet. Johnny, your Packers are still alive. I genuinely believe they're going to make the playoffs somehow. I mean,
it's tough,
right? Almost everything that could have went right this weekend 100%. Did.
Yes,
like I mean, and that doesn't guarantee anything, but.
Packers still need to win out. They need to beat the Vikings and
some other team.
Is it the Lions? Are we playing the Vikings and the Lions the last two games? I think that might be it. And the Vikings are this week, I believe, at home.
Oh, it sounds like I need to reach out to my main man, Doug Bjerkus, and throw down a little bet.
And then
that.
The final week, the Lions, I think, is in Detroit.
So Minnesota this weekend, and then Detroit.
Scroll. I want to see where Detroit is.
It's in Michigan.
Lambeau.
On the.
Oh, no. So they're both at Lambeau. Yeah, I'm sorry. They're both at Lambeau.
Home field.
Weather. I mean, honestly, the weather this weekend isn't going to be that bad.
No.
I would rather see it be a little colder. Who knows what it's going to be in 2 weeks. So we need to win both games, clearly. And we need, I think,
some help.
Washington to lose one of their last two. Mm. And then I think we have a chance to get in. So. I mean, at this, it's kind of funny because I'm kind of a little bit torn. Obviously, I want to see us make the playoffs because once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen. This isn't a great Packers team, so I don't really feel like they're going to be able to make it all the way. So we're kind of past the point of tanking for a draft pick. Mm-hmm. We already have enough wins where, guess what? If we tank now, we get like the 16th pick versus the 22nd pick or something that we're probably going to get. I don't know. I'm happy. I'm hoping we make the playoffs. It'll be a lot of fun. And then from there, we can kind of see what happens. But you never know. Teams get, you know, anyone that plays fantasy football knows that like the last couple of weeks have been the fantasy playoffs in a lot of teams. And just the right team gets hot and beats you. A good friend of ours, Adam Ladwig, his team stunk most of the year. But guess what? He got into the playoffs and he beat me. So life happens.
It's superior skills.
That's all it takes. Superior skills.
All right. Let's keep on looking at what else came in. Buzz Swan says, Smashbox is the best mystery each week.
To me, too.
Yeah. We'll go there, too.
There are a lot of times Terry walks into my house at 8:44, and I don't know who our guest is going to be. Yeah, so I knew today because him and I talked earlier today, but you're right. It's a mystery to me as well.
I am VP of guest acquisition.
You are.
Should I get a pay raise?
I might promote you.
Oh, I should be president, yeah.
I think you're going to be president of guest acquisition. Yeah, because okay. I think there's like usually maybe one guest a year I end up lining up.
Yep, good job. You keep at that.
I will.
Jay says, GK Pro needs to make more cartoon versions of Disc Golf's best moments. Love the OTB Tour skins. Tuned 530-foot Kevin Jones ace. That popped up in my feed at some point or another. I think I clicked on it, and then there was some kind of intro, and then something else distracted me, and then I never got back to it. But I will echo that I've seen a lot of people say what you're saying. as to that being a really awesome video.
I will have to check that out.
We will watch it in the after show. bullet points equals a chart 100%.
Yeah, hey, that's Nova? Bullet points, though. That's bullet points. That's not the entire spreadsheet. When no one says when I open up Excel or Google Sheets, like, oh here's my chart.
But you wouldn't open up Excel if you weren't gonna have like a chart like function. If you didn't want it to be chart like, otherwise you just put everything in Word.
No, they're two different applications.
That's what I'm saying, though. But if you wanted to kind of act as a chart of sorts, that's why you would open up Sheets in the first place. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you just put it all in Doc. Just saying. Hey, Nova, hope you're well. Nova has a new video out. I saw her promoting it earlier, so I will help promote it as well. Nova's got a new video. Let's keep on scrolling with some of these insights for you guys. Have you watched Cocaine Bear yet? Based on the true story from a bear in Kentucky.
No, I here's what I've
will
heard.
You watch it? Do you know the premise?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, I do not.
There's two movies that I do want to see that I think are going to be just dumb funny. One is Cocaine Bear. I don't think I'm going to go to the theater to see it.
Okay.
The premise is back in like the 80s. Somebody dropped some cocaine out of a plane, and somehow a bear got a hold of it and basically ate a brick of cocaine, and it died. That's more or less the whole story. This is a different premise. The bear gets a hold of the cocaine and goes on a murder rampage.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very much embellished. It's when they say based on a true story, very loosely.
That cocaine exists and bears exist. And
that, a bear actually ate a brick of cocaine at one point. The other one I want to see is what's it called? Violent Night, or it's the Violent Santa murder where he it's basically Die Hard, but David Harbour plays Santa. I don't know why, but it tickles me pink when I see it. Mm. It's another one where I'm probably not going to go to the theater and see it, but I definitely am going to watch it once it hits either HBO or maybe if I rent it off of Amazon or something like that. I'm going to make some time to see those because both of those look like movies that are never ever going to win any sort of award but will sit there and make me laugh the entire time.
Okay, sounds good. Then somebody else asks if you watch Wisconsin.
Do I watch Wisconsin football?
Yeah, do you watch Wisconsin football? What are your thoughts on Luke Fickell?
I'm not so much a college football person. Is Luke Fickell the transfer that is coming in for quarterback? I think I heard something that Wisconsin was getting something out of the transfer system for a quarterback. If so, awesome. I don't know. The only good quarterback Wisconsin, I think, has ever had is Russell Wilson.
Mm.
And Russell,
he's all right.
Russell was basically in for 1 year and left.
Oh,
and they lost. I think that was the year they lost the Rose Bowl with Russell.
Figures rigged.
Wisconsin is not known for their quarterbacks. They're known for their offensive linemen, their tight ends, and sometimes the
running
backs. Sometimes the running backs. Like it seems like a Wisconsin tight end is almost always drafted at some point. Wisconsin offensive linemen are always drafted. But the running back, I mean, we had Ron Dane.
Yeah.
And we also had Jonathan Taylor, I believe, was a Wisconsin running back who's now on IR for the season. But we've had a few good running backs, that's for sure.
Well, coming back to my city, village.
I highly doubt he will.
I don't know. J.J. Watt, the pride of Pewaukee. That's where I live, folks.
It is.
Just about 30 minutes west of here, officially retiring, and made that announcement, today? Is that what I saw?
Yes.
Yeah, I think made that announcement.
He made an Instagram post basically saying it's his daughter's, or son, I'm not exactly sure, first ever NFL game, and it's his last ever home game, which I think behind the scenes, I think in the Cardinals management knew that he was retiring or knew that he wasn't going to be moving on, but he made that announcement for the world saying that he will no longer be playing football after this season.
Well, him and I are going to hang out.
I hope so. That'd be fun. You should have him on the show.
Yeah. Drop on in, JJ. That's brothers and whoever else plays his dad, or I don't know.
TJ, his
brother. I heard they're making a Rush Hour 4.
Paul says.
Okay. You weren't into 1, 2, or 3, were you?
I think I saw 1 in parts, maybe when we were in college.
I have not seen it all. I know that much.
But no.
Okay.
Because I know this sounds dumb, but Rush Hour to me always seemed like a bad version of Bad Boys. Mm. Not that Bad Boys was great, although the first one was pretty good. But Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker.
They don't float your boat.
Not usually. Chris Tucker is phenomenal in Fifth Element, though. I'll say that, which you would hate. So don't bother ever watching
it. The Fifth Element?
Yeah.
With Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, I can imagine how much you hated it.
I didn't. I barely remember it. Obviously, you remember the ending, but don't care for it. Didn't care for it.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah, of course.
I loved it.
I did watch it.
I thought it was. I loved it, so.
Gannon Burr was in the news. I saw that locally. He was, I think, featured right on the front page of the Des Moines Register. So people can check that out. There was something else that I noticed in the news that I wanted to bring to light, and I can't remember what it was now. Which
Ray asks if we had any issues, literal issues, with the blizzard and the negative 30 degree temps over the weekend. Did you have any sort of?
No,
I did not.
Yeah, in
other than keeping my house warm.
Yeah, when it was all said and done, very blessed. There was not a ton of travel on my behalf. Certainly nothing that involved an airplane. So,
and we didn't even really get hit with a blizzard here.
No,
like Milwaukee has kind of like a bubble around it lately, where it feels like the day or two before, everyone's talking 10 to 18 inches. Everyone's like, "Ooh, that's going to be a rough one."
J.J. Watt's hometown, Pewaukee, where I live, they called off school. So our kids were supposed to have off on Friday. That was pre-planned. That's when their break was going to start. And then due to the 8 to 10 to 18 inches that was forecasted for Thursday, by Wednesday night, along with these cold temperatures as all this was passing through, by Wednesday night, they sent out which we're really thankful. You'd rather hear it at 8 o'clock at night than 4 a.m., of course. So by Wednesday night...
As a kid, there was something fun about waking up in the morning and like knowing that it was like really cold or blizzardy and thinking like, is school going to get canceled?
Yeah, there's also something really fun about 8 p.m. and then being like, I don't even have to get up at a certain time.
As a parent, heck yeah.
So
as a kid,
with the forecast... And with the fact that they were just about to send kids on like an 8-day vacation, so to speak, anyway, or break, they called it a day. Or did they call off Milwaukee?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
My kids walked to school Thursday morning and had school.
Uphill both ways?
It's not even really uphill. It's a block and a half. It's literally a block and a half.
I didn't realize that. Well, so anyway, they called off school in our district.
They did not. My kids are tougher.
We're dumber. So they...
Tougher.
Anyway, so they called off school, and then we got like 2 inches of snow.
Yeah, the snow somehow like ended up going north and south of us, and
there were just
we had like 2.5 to 3 inches here of snow. Now the dangerous part was the fact that there was 50-mile-an-hour winds.
Correct, the wind chills were ridiculous.
They were talking about no travel, and that was part of the reason why they wanted to call where they were called off schools, because the busing and whatnot, you know, travel and. They were telling people not to travel until Saturday afternoon. We went up north Friday afternoon, and for the most part, it was a pretty easy travel. Not a lot of cars on the road, but there were points on my way up north, about 2 hours north of here, whiteout conditions for about 30 seconds, where you'd drive, you would see it coming. You're like, cool, I'm about to hit a mini blizzard because the wind is just whipping through. You slow down to about 30 miles an hour, and you keep tapping your brake so the person behind you can see you. You get through this 30 seconds of blizzard, and then it's clear again. And you drive for another 10, 15, 20 miles until you run into another one. So thankfully, like I said, we didn't really get hit with anything major. I've seen some places that did get anywhere from 10 to 14 inches of snow in the Midwest, and it didn't look good. I know a lot of travel was messed up because of it. As we joked about earlier, Southwest Airlines canceled 2,400 flights yesterday. I think they were saying 2,200 today and whatnot. My cousin, who came in from Austin, Texas, She got stuck at O'Hare because she couldn't make her connection to Milwaukee. And her, you know, my uncle, her dad, had to go get her and drive her back up to the Fox City. So it's about a 3 hour drive from O'Hare to Appleton area, maybe a little south at Oshkosh, 3 to 3.5 hours. Probably took a lot longer with a little bit of the weather. So, I mean, ultimately, and her luggage was all lost. So we'll see if she gets that back. But ultimately, we were fortunate in Wisconsin that not a lot really.
Pretty mild considering. In fact, it almost felt like there was a taunting of, hey, you a-holes predicted so much worse, harsher conditions, and this is all you gave us. There was a little bit of that.
Oh, there's always the weatherman.
Every show has a little bit of some shameless self-plug. So, yes, this weekend, Johnny talked about it earlier, 50 degrees. It's going to be a scorcher out there. This weekend, there is still room available to play in my flex start, chaining in the new year, the final flex that's taking place at Fairfield Park in Northern Illinois. Round Lake is the place to be. So there is a flex start that will take place 9 a.m., I want to say, and then the last tee off would be at 2 p.m. So you can find it on Disc Golf Scene. We'd love to have you come throw frisbees and join us for the final round of the year out there at that course. Also, I made a quick tweet about this, and I need to get very serious about it in an organized fashion, which is not my strong suit. I'm excited about the idea of covering a couple of tournaments. Many of you know this, that one of the times I get to really dig my heels into post-production is kind of during when the Pro Tour, I'm not as active with the Pro Tour. So that's the Chainhawk Open in December, beginning of December. That's things like Shelly Sharp. That's things like the Maricopa Open. And this year, looking at Thailand for back-to-back events, one in Chiang Mai, one in Koh Samui. And then you fast forward to a few other events, throw down the mountain, so on and so forth. I have a little bit of latitude, pardon the pun, to also seek out a few additional sponsors that want to be part of some of that coverage. And if you're interested in doing so, please reach out to me as soon as possible, whether that's Facebook or Twitter or whatever the case might be. If you want some representation in some of those video, it might be a product. It might be a podcast that you have. It might be another YouTube channel. Whatever the case might be, reach out, and hopefully we can find something that suits you. This is where, I don't want to say I just get the most views, but it's the chance where we're definitely filling a small gap in otherwise fresh content coverage. And so I know that's certainly part of the secret sauce to getting a little bit more views and eyeballs on my channel. So please reach out if you're interested.
Did your kids get everything they wanted for Christmas? Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? I don't know if there's anything you want for Christmas these days. At our age, we just kind of need it, want it, buy it. But
yeah, I was certainly all good. You guys will be elated because you guys will get to experience one of my gifts.
Did you yourself a new camera?
No, I had asked for and received a what now will be a secondary traveling light. You know how I often get to set up some fancy light whenever I travel around. It's got a nice little magnet. It's an industry standard portable light, but I picked up a second one that is rechargeable as well. It's the same one as the first, but that will allow me it has such a small footprint, so to speak, so that it's great that I should be able to adjust my lighting to another degree anytime that I'm out traveling and on the road. So picked up one of those, and you will benefit that my other secondary gift, because I'm so exciting, was a replacement electronic toothbrush. So I've got a whole new toothbrush.
Good for you.
I had an electric one that I got 2 years ago. Didn't last quite as long. Well, wow. It lasted, but I was ready for a new one. So an
Why
official
were you ready
upgrade.
For a new electric toothbrush?
Because the other one just didn't seem to hold the charge really well. It was kind of a secondary name brand. And I mean, you know, you're old and very unexciting when you're an electric toothbrush is on your Christmas list.
I had an electric toothbrush for like 7 years. That was great. The only issue with it is it was an older model and it had this giant base to it because it didn't have one of these small bases, and it would just get really gross. You'd drip down and have like this funk on it. And it was always literally it would take me like 10 to 20 minutes to clean it because I'd have to take this whole thing apart to get to the charging area. So finally, at some point, I got annoyed with that after 7 or 8 years of that. And I went and bought a very similar model, but with a much smaller base that matched my daughter's electric toothbrush. And so now we each have our own little one there. And I actually did that like 2 months ago. So I got a new toothbrush 2 months ago. So it couldn't be a Christmas gift.
No, you gotta hold off for that. Sweet, sweet Christmas action. Yeah, my kids got what they need.
Yeah, that's...
And then some. So everybody checks out.
My son, I kind of mentioned this to you. It was funny. He's opening up presents up north at my in-law's place, and he opened up a Frisbee. They got him a Frisbee, an ultimate size disc from Tosi, T-O-S-Y, Tosi. It's got LEDs along the side of it. It activates when you throw it. I kind of chuckled at it, and they were like, oh, it's a Frisbee. You guys can, I'm like, no, it's a great Frisbee. It'd be fun to play. It's not a golf disc, so to speak, but I have enough of those. And I chuckled because I'm like, oh, I backed a Kickstarter from them a while ago. And they were like, oh, really? And I just looked up the Kickstarter, and it says here, the campaign was supposed to fulfill in, I think it was like September of 2021. And I've yet to see my Tosi disc. So I got an...
So their ad rates just went up. I mentioned their name again. They're going to owe us $200.
I got an update from them, I think in November, with a video saying, hey, we're still working on it. And which is funny because they got 2,800 backers to the tune of $420,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not like it's a small... If this was a small Kickstarter, I'd be like, oh, Tosi's a known name brand that went out and is doing golf discs. So I'm curious as to when this will at some point show up. It's the world's first smart golf disc AI powered. By the time we get it, it might be like the third.
Well, it's funny that somebody else was able to purchase it and get it to you. Oh,
no,
but
no,
it
no.
wasn't this
no,
one.
This is,
like
no, this
that,
is
right.
their golf disc.
Okay.
My son got their ultimate disc.
Okay,
So that one obviously is much, it's been around for a while. So I did get a kick out of that when he opened that up from my in-laws and they saw me laughing and we had a little discussion about the different types of discs there are out there.
So. Oh, in other randomness, which most of you, if you're subscribed to Smashbox, you may have already seen, but in somewhat random fashion, since last week, I had also produced a couple other videos that were just sitting there ready to go.
You
or
released a Paul McBeth
polish.
Video.
I did, but before even that, I had released the Memorial. And call this, you can't call it a proof of concept. I understand that entirely. But I released memorial footage from the Memorial Championships. It was, granted, it's back in March, but it was rounds 3 and 4 of the lead card of MP40. And so it featured Steve Brinster, Dutch Napier, Pete Ulibarri, Shasta Chris. Then, spoiler, I released the lead card of the final round, fourth round. We didn't have people out there getting rounds 1 and 2, but we released the fourth round as well. It had Pete Ulibarri, Shasta Chris, Steve Brinster, and then KJ Naibo. And the views are somewhat consistent. I'm looking at them right now. They've all been up for about 4 or 5 days, and we're looking at roughly 2,500 views per 9 holes. And granted, if this was more timely and was released at the beginning of the year, it may have mattered. I don't know that it would have. I don't know that it would have. But it does shed a... It is one tiny snapshot into MP40 coverage in terms of viewership. And I'll be interested... And I've got a few other MP40 videos throughout the years. I'll be interested to see... And I'm going to wrap this all up with getting to the point, which is the Disc Golf Masters Tour and what viewership looks like. And that's something we asked Callie about and talked to her about. I know Ace Run has stepped up and said that they're going to be have a part in that as well.
Some events, yeah, and maybe all of them.
2023 will really shine a huge light on what Masters coverage demand looks like. I think that's maybe what I'm getting at.
I think here's what I'll say about that. There, look at what FPO coverage used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Before there was consistent FPO coverage like that we see on the tour. So, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but I think judging the Masters coverage that you're putting out to a consistent tour where you can build up anticipation, you can watch development of players and whatnot on a tour. I think if something like this, the Masters was going to happen, you're going to have to do something like that just to bring excitement to the division.
A consistency more than anything.
Because a one-off isn't going to do anything for anybody. There's almost no anticipation, no excitement in it, as opposed to a consistent tour that we will hopefully
certainly
see.
And that's why I said this is more so a snapshot, not so much a proof of concept. It's just a snapshot. And like we said, whether it was advertised more or the players that are on it, I mean, those are four stellar players that I feel like have some name. It'll be interesting to see, or five in total. It'll be interesting to see. And then also, I did go, and thanks to somebody else's post, I'll shout them out. I think it was Disc Golf Fanatic, who I don't know where they got it from. And unfortunately, I couldn't fact check it. I kind of did. Had posted the five best rounds, or the top 15 rounds, I should say.
Oh, I was going to say.
That came originally from StatMando, maybe?
I think StatMando started something like that. There was kind of I don't say a meme going around, but just like a little viral thing where everybody was posting their top five rounds of the year.
Their personal top five, yeah. And then at one point, somebody made a list of the top rounds of all of MPO and the top rounds of all of FPO for the year. And I looked at that once I saw that list. I was like, wait a minute. My channel currently houses the two top rated rounds of the year. I was like, oh. Well, hey, I should see if I ever, put those out as individual rounds, solo rounds, as I call them. And I hadn't. So I went out and immediately grabbed the second best rated round of the entire year of 2022. And I released that on my channel.
And you're going to release the first?
And I will release the top rated round of the year. And spoiler, was it the only round that got over 1,100? Either way, it was the highest rated round of the year.
No, Anthony Barella hit over 1,100.
But not at an A tier or above.
Correct, not at an A tier.
So, okay. That is the caveat I should make sure to include there, or the distinction at an A tier or above. A tier, Elite Series, or Major. And so I'll release that as well. The only thing that I dislike about having Kristen Tatars, one of her best rated rounds of the year, it's at the same course where these other two great rounds were. So if you're watching it, you should. But if you do, some people are going to be like, oh, all these top-rated rounds all came from the same course.
Memorial?
Fountain Hills.
Yeah.
They're great rounds, clearly.
But as we know, Fountain Hills tends to produce
some of those hot rounds. But if you outplay everybody, they produce hot rounds.
I just think, as everybody says, the round ratings at Fountain Hills are a little bit elevated compared to the difficulty of the course. Because with Fountain Hills, as we all know, you could take a 2 or a 4 on every hole because there's water there, or a 6, if you go out multiple times. So, well, you and I could throw almost an identical shot, land near the basket. I get just kind of a cruddy roll on almost every hole, and I'm taking 4s and you're taking 2s. The quality of the play, I feel like the Memorial, isn't as spread out as the round ratings make it feel, just because of all the OB. Now, they're still great rounds. Anytime you're shooting anywhere up there, it's an amazing round. So, but yeah.
So they'll be available. Robert, you got to rewind, bro. You want Simon to MVP rumors? You got to rewind. We beat that one to death. WT Force Wade, I believe, says a Masters age says a lot about the earlier generations. He's calling that you're going to be state champion. What, over in Michigan?
That's what he thinks until we come over there.
Good luck until Johnny comes and takes 7th. Did your Masters coverage of Memorial get as many views as regular MPO round? No, I couldn't even read that without laughing. Absolutely not. And nor would I expect it to, nor will they ever. If we're just being honest, like, they never will. And that's expected. They shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're just being honest with ourselves and the players are being honest with themselves, you're not going to have a Masters division. Even if you put four of the greatest Masters of all time together on the greatest course, unfortunately, there's going to be still plenty of other videos that will outperform it. Wade says, I like watching Steve Brinser's game, which I totally agree with. It's always a good time. Timestamp earlier. best choice DGPT made with the schedule is removing the Memorial. I mean, yeah, just, as Johnny kind of alluded to.
It kind of had to happen.
It wasn't just the style of course, because we find open courses. I want to be, I'll go out on a limb here and say it's not just the style as much as it was a lack of constraints that you can have on that course. It was very difficult. Essentially, it's impossible to close the park. So we couldn't have
or Vista practically.
So you couldn't have exclusive use for disc golfers for the park, which thereby created safety hazards that the Disc Golf Pro Tour wasn't interested in combating.
Because I'll still go out and say, I think Vista is a good course. I think Vista can be held up to some of our other Elite Series courses. Fountain Hills, you can make an argument one way or the other. It's not a difficult course, but as I've said for years, I like having a variety of courses. The fact that it's birdie or die to me, that I like, that's a fun way to start a year. And to be fair, Vegas kind of fulfills that wide open hyzer itch that you get. You just don't get as many birdies at Vegas as you do at Memorial. So I know, give or take it. I never had an issue with the Memorial personally. It's more of a safety thing for people. You know, you can't close the course. You can't sell tickets to it because the parks are open. So who's going to pay for a ticket when the parks are open? It just didn't work out for the Pro Tour's future planning, really. And yeah. I get that.
And you can agree or disagree with it being there like that. I understand. But it wasn't just exclusively the style was going to be my point. And let's be fair, as you were maybe just alluding to as well. Yeah, there's the danger and there's whatever at the course. It's kind of enjoyable to actually watch. Now,
the Memorial's fun to watch.
It is reclaimed wastewater. But it's still enjoyable to walk around and watch a round of golf at the fountain for me. And I understand mileage may vary and some people absolutely just don't like it. But to walk around at the fountain, to see the fountain going off, to see the play that can be shot there, I still find it mildly enjoying. It's very different than walking around at Idlewild. I get it. Guess what? You can enjoy both and there's nothing wrong with that either. You may hate one and love the other, but you could enjoy both. That's where I land.
I enjoy all disc golf.
No, you don't. Not all of it.
Most of it.
Maybe, but not all of it. VDC made course changes, it appears. A couple throws harder. There's factors that are unique to the fountain. Yes, exactly. Agree with you there. You said, and this is not exclusive to you or your knowledge or to your player, but you said the On Tour final episode is out, correct?
It is. It finally came out. It was delayed a few weeks. I know they had some issues. I don't think they wanted to say anything, but I know there were some issues in the backside, so things got pushed back. But I think a week or so, or 2 weeks, I don't know. But anyway, I watched the sixth episode because that's the one I clicked on. I forgot that I hadn't watched the fifth episode, so maybe we'll go back and watch that. It was good. I mean, it wasn't as good as I think the third and fourth episodes that I watched, which I felt were a little bit more behind.
Aren't you just some effing movie critic?
They were a little bit more behind the scenes. This one was a little bit more of a wrap up video, as the final episode is. You know, it summarized USDGC. It kind of ignored Throw Pink a little bit.
Okay,
from what I noticed. And then it went to the DGPT Championships.
Don't spoil anything for me, though.
I'm going to tell you, Terry. And they kind of had a summary, a little bit of the FPO players that made the finals. Missy chatted a bit. own. You got a really nice kind of history of own Scoggins, which was awesome, and Valerie Mondahano as well. I don't think Tatar was available to do kind of a sit down with them. I think she has chatted in some of the, she did talk in some of the earlier ones, but I don't necessarily think she had a real big in-depth thing in this one. And then they talked, you know, it's funny because I did honestly skip around a little bit in it when they were summarizing the men's side, watching Ricky go and birdie hole 18 twice again. Overall, I liked it. I didn't like it as much as a couple of the earlier episodes, I'll say that. But it was fine. I'll go back and watch episode 5 at some point now. And now that I've spoiled the season ending.
Yeah, I tell you. I was unsure of how it was going to end up.
And as everybody says, just put Own in front of every camera. Every camera. In fact, if you're Own Scoggins, just find a camera and go to it, because that person will not be able to take the camera off of you. She is so entertaining. Always. Even when she's sitting there chatting, you know, she's got like this, you know, the typical white background where she's sitting there having an interview. Still the most entertaining player that you can imagine. Talking about her history, working in, you know, about how every day for her is fun because she has worked at difficult jobs where she grew up in Laos. And, you know, she's like, I'm not carrying heavy things. I'm not, you know, working in fields. I'm not doing these things. I'm playing disc golf.
Mm-hmm.
So to have Own kind of give a really nice background into what she does is phenomenal. And by all means, like I said, it shouldn't be called On Tour next year. It should be called Own Tour.
Hey-o.
And just follow Own around.
Well, if you want to do that, which is funny because I was also just scrolling through her Instagram, where she is in Laos, as Johnny just mentioned. She's been there since shortly after the Phoenix Ladies Open.
Yep.
And she has made a number of posts there and has quite a few pictures and whatnot. So if you want to go out, you can follow her on Instagram as well. I'm going to put that in the chat for somebody that is too lazy to click anywhere else. So I'll put it in there right now and you can click on it to follow Own Scoggins. But she's currently visiting family in Laos. Unfortunately, she's going to be, unfortunately for me, selfishly, she's going to be coming back to and not be part of the Samui event that's taking place over in Thailand or the one in Chiang Mai. But I know there's already talks that if she takes an extended trip, maybe next year's off season or sometime after that, that we might be able to get her to stick around for some of that Thailand or Thai disc golf as well. So looking forward to it. All right, Johnny. And another quick announcement. I know we talked about her briefly last week. We have not seen any manufacturer announcement out of Erica Stinchcomb, but she said she is going to continue her relationship and her sponsorship with Skybreed Discs, who have supported her tremendously in the last couple of years. So she did make that announcement, and she said that she is still working on finalization of a possible disc manufacturer. So if you've got one of the hot geese there, one of the two hot geese in your radar, that's exactly what she is working on. Well, that's Skybreed Discs. Okay.
All right, Terry, you know what we can do? We can give something away tonight.
Yes, we can.
I don't know what we're going to give away.
Oh, I got stuff.
I know you do. You always have stuff that we're going to give away.
I have stuff, and it's not going to be a mystery box, and it won't be a six-time claw disc, but it'll be something of less value than those things.
I'll tell you what, if you were able to give away a six-time claw disc, I'd be shocked considering they're not out yet, but, you know.
I'm known for making empty promises. And also, week's winner, Seifert Olvaras, had reached out to me. I might just have you pack a disc with him next week or next year. He said that he's not too concerned about us getting it mailed out right away to Norway, but if you're going to be in his backyard, literally,
I might be.
You might need to hand it to him. But
so,
thank you, Seifert. Regardless, we appreciate all of your support as one of our many Patreon supporters and subscribers. So, Johnny,
speaking of Patreon, patreon.com/SmashboxTV, if you want to be eligible for our giveaway, as we say every single week, it's literally less than a cup of coffee every single month for as little as $1 a month. And you know what? Some of those coffees you pay for at Starbucks are like 10, 12, 14 bucks, depending on what you get.
Yeah.
You could do a whole year's support for Smashbox TV with that. And every single week, That's 52 times a year, assuming that we hit every single week, and we usually do. We're here doing something.
We keep you up and stiffer than coffee. Stiff coffee.
That's creepy in a lot of ways, Terry. I'm going to just pass on that. In just life in general, let's just pass on
all right,
that. Let's pretend
right.
you didn't say that. I'm going to take that out of the podcast. I'm really not. So 153 people are eligible, and I do want to give a special shout out to two guys, Gordon Johnson and Robert Dahman, who every single week go out to the weekly giveaways, smashbox.tv/weekly giveaways, and enter themselves in manually every single week.
You do not have to be present to win, and nor do you have to, no purchase necessary. Yeah, yeah. And they partake in both
every single week. So I give a huge shout out, and every single week I add them into our weekly giveaway list. So this week I sorted it by email address.
Yeah, you did.
I did, Terry.
I think you did that
I
last
did.
Week.
No, I sorted it by first name last week. I think.
Oh yeah, you did.
So anyway, yeah. So sorted it by email address, Terry. What is the number that we are going to draw?
Wow, man. I don't know. It's episode.
It's episode 435.
I was going to say.
That's 3, 4, and a 5.
It is. So we definitely go with 6.
All right. Wow.
We're
6.
We're going to go high tonight. We're going with 6.
Going with 6. All right. Our first number is 117. Second number is 42. Third number is 5. Fourth number is 22. Fifth number is 4.
Wow. 5 and 4 were both in there. It's going to be higher than 4.
Higher
I
than
would
4.
Bet.
I hope it's not, for love of God. Our sixth and final number is 30. 30. Let's look at who it is now so I don't dox anybody. Let's take them off the screen. Mm. Number 30 is Hype Man Dan. Daniel Reynoso.
Oh, jeez, that guy.
Hype Man Dan.
Love it. Dan, getting at it.
Congratulations, Hype Man Dan. Daniel Reynoso out of the Minnesota location. Hype Man for the UDisc crew and guys. Congratulations. Thanks. Dan's been a supporter long time for longer than I even probably should tell.
Yeah, so, he's been here longer than you, I think.
He might be. He might be. He was within the first year of our Patreon supporters. So congratulations, Dan. I'll give Terry your information, but I'm sure he has it.
Oh, yeah. I know where you live. I know where you live, Dan.
It's super creepy. I don't even like that Terry knows where I live.
Uh-huh. So. Well, if you increase your Patreon, then...
we could hide from you?
Yeah, then I would not be able to find you. That'd be all right, too. All right. Are we going to close it out? Is that it?
We are going to wrap this up, Terry.
Wow. Again, I'll say the same that I said in the regular show, but for our after showers, thank you guys so much for joining us. It's been an incredible year. We've had some ups and downs and some sideways. There's been a little bit of sideways. And, well, you're going to get that, especially in the after show. But we are so honored and privileged that you guys somehow click that download button or you tune in live week after week. And we very much appreciate each and every one of you, especially our Patreon subscribers. We're not gonna lie. We love you more because you love us.
We always say it,
or at least you pretend to with trying to bribe us. And we're like that. We'll take it. So thank you for an incredible 2022. It's been another season of Smashbox TV podcast. We make no promises for improvement in 2023 because I'm still with this guy. So I think we've already hit the ceiling for Johnny V. I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. That's been 435's After Show. We'll see you next year when you step inside the Smashbox.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.